This is Thanksgiving week, and most families get together in some form or fashion and have a meal and just try to enjoy each other's company. Lots of people, even myself included a little bit, would argue that we have kind of made all these holidays commercial. And, you know, you look at Christmas, and I mean, it's already Christmas to some folks, and we hadn't even celebrated Thanksgiving. Yeah, anyway, I'm a little bit old-fashioned in that manner. I can't get into Christmas till I get through Thanksgiving. But even though it has become commercial, I think it also has been a vehicle that helps us get together, formally with family and stuff. I know that for some folks, it's the only time they get together with family. And maybe it puts a little pressure on us, but at least I think there's a good element to that and all. So I know that just thinking about family and those kind of things, and we were just sitting around last night after watching the ball game, and Brandon just kind of said, you know, man, he said, I'm just so thankful for my family. You know, we enjoy being together. We enjoy getting together. And I realize not all families are that way. I understand there's a lot of families that there's still some strife and some difficulties in it and those kind of things. But I even know that even like my dad only lives 40 minutes down the road, and I have to make an effort to go to see him, when I can just kind of go through day in, day out, doing what I normally do, and then all of a sudden, you know, oh, shoot, I hadn't talked to Dad in a while, or I hadn't been down there in a while, you know, and he's 84 years old, which I'm thankful for, and he's of good sound and mind and body, and I'm grateful for, but you know what? The reality is I don't know how many more years, you know, I'll have with him. And so when I start thinking about the things that I'm thankful for, I start thinking about relationships that we have and how important they are. And I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. But I wanted to do this. I want to just talk about sharing some scriptures about Thanksgiving. But let me just ask you, what is your favorite scripture that has to do with giving thanks? Okay. Okay. Psalms 100, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. What else? Yes, ma'am. Yep. He makes all things work together for good. Okay. All right. What else? What's your favorite Thanksgiving scripture? You know, maybe we can't quote them exactly, but we know what they mean. But let me just read some. I just felt like the Lord had me go through and just pull some out. We already did a Psalms 104, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Psalms 106:1 says, praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his love endures forever. That is an important line. You know why? Because it's also in Psalms 107, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. It's also in Psalms 95. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and exalt him with music and songs. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all. In 118, Psalm says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And it goes on to say, let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. And let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. Can we say that this morning? His love endures forever. Even in 1 Chronicles it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. There's so many scriptures about being thankful. And what that kind of leads me to believe, don't you think that God kind of thinks that's a good thing for us to do, is to be thankful? I think there's a benefit in it whenever we realize the things that we can put our finger on and say, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for my relationships. I'm thankful for my job. I'm thankful for whatever it might be. But I want to talk just a little bit this morning about relationships, because I realize that there's sometimes that these holidays pull folks together and maybe it's not all smooth sailing. You know, maybe sometimes a little fireworks takes place because, you know, I ain't seen my brother in years and we don't really get along. Or I ain't seen so-and-so in a long time. But I believe that God stresses relationships. First of all, he wants us to have a relationship with him. And it's not just one that says, okay, there's a big God out there. You know, I better behave. I need to live right. I need to do what I need to do, or else he might get mad at me. That's not what he wants. He wants that intimate, that personal relationship with you. He wants to know what you're feeling. Even though he knows, he wants to know. He wants you to express that to him. What you're feeling? What's going on? What's happening with you? He wants to be an integral part of that. If you look up the word relationship, it says a strong, deep, and close association or acquaintance between two or more people. I think we understand what relationships are, and we have them to certain degrees. Some are closer than others. You spend more time around certain people than others, and so therefore each relationship kind of takes on its own, a little bit of its own meaning and all. But for the most part, I think we realize that God wants to have a relationship with us. That's his desire. And it's not just God out there. He wants to be interwoven into the fabric of our lives in every aspect of it. But Jesus was asked once, what's the first and most important commandment? Matthew 22:38. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And Jesus said, this is the first and greatest commandment. I like the Passion Translation. It says, love the Lord your God with every passion of your heart, with all the energy of your being, and with every thought that is within you. That pretty much encompasses it all. And so I think we know that. I feel like, you know, we've got a pretty good understanding of that. But I think sometimes we still kind of get out, like I said last week, we get out on our own instead of bringing him into everything that we do. But it's important. But he doesn't stop there, because there's something that he feels is extremely important, pretty much close to loving God first. And that's what he said the second is. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. And the law and the prophets hang, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments, he said. The Passion Translation says the second one like this. And the second is like it in importance. You must love your friend in the same way you love yourself. Sometimes neighbor means to us the people that live in our neighborhood, the people next door to us. But if you look up this word, it's placeion, And it means any other man or person, irrespective of nation or religion, with whom we live or whom we chance to meet. So when he says, love your neighbor as yourself, he's not just talking about the people who live next door. He's talking about everybody that we come in contact with. Have you ever run into those people that are that person that, man, I could never be friends with them? Mm-mm. But then something happens that you get to know them. Somehow you wind up spending a little bit of time around them. And all of a sudden things change and you realize that, hey, they now have become a good friend. See, so many times we put our perspective on what somebody else should be. And when we do that, it really harms us. It really hurts us. It really stops us from maybe being a real close, intimate friend with somebody that God has brought into our lives. And because we've made a judgment basically towards them, we've put up a wall and can't move into that place that God really wants us to. I love what Bill Johnson often says. He says that, you know, we're all God's creation and that there's gold in every one of us. Now listen, these are my words, but there's some people you just have to dig deeper to find that gold than others, if you know what I mean. Well, anybody wears a Texas shirt, you know, you just got to go. Listen, I understand that people say things, people do things that sometimes hurt. And lots of times we have a hard time getting over that. You know, because the words or the things they did, or maybe the things they didn't do, and we thought they might have should have done, they didn't do. And it causes a hurt. And when that hurt is in us, we can't move on. And we can't move on in the relationship. But that's not where God wants us. See, God knew when he created us and gave us feelings and emotions and all those that there's probably going to be a pretty good chance that some of us was going to have ours hurt. You know, going to be disappointed. But the neat thing about him is he's here to take us through the healing processes when those kind of things happen. When something happens that somebody offends you or somebody says something that hurts, you know. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. I think most everybody's had that done. So he knew he would be the one. I'm not so sure that wasn't even a setup a little bit for us, you know, so that that we could realize we got to pull him into our life. We got to have him part of our lives so that we can get through those things. But he also talks a lot about unforgiveness. And sometimes that's the thing that separates us, that keeps us from moving on in our relationships. Just a couple of scriptures that I pulled out. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you." We somewhat understand God's forgiveness, I think. We understand what he did. He sent his son to die on the cross for our forgiveness. But sometimes we have these wounds that somebody has said something or done something towards us, and we just can't seem to get past that. I don't know what kind of family situations you might be in this week, but I do know that God wants to heal wounds, and He wants relationships healed. He wants us to forgive if they've done something. The other one's Matthew 18:21. It says, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me?' And he asked, 'Up to 7 times? You know what the number 7 in the Bible usually indicates? Perfection, completeness. Okay? But what did Jesus say? 70 times 7. And I got to thinking about that and just wondering, okay, well, that's 490 times. But I don't think God was talking about a specific number. I think what he's saying is there's never not a time for unforgiveness. You can never get to the end of unforgiveness. There's never a reason or an excuse to hold on to unforgiveness. And so if it takes 70 times 70 for you to say, "I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you," you know, then whatever it is, because God knew how detrimental unforgiveness is, not only to relationships, but to us. I mean, there's studies that say that it causes arthritis and all kind of things, all kind of health issues when there's unforgiveness. Remember, hello, it just went right out of my mind. Did y'all see me lose it? Greg, thank you. Yeah, if y'all heard Greg share his testimony, was that last week?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he didn't even realize that as he was with these prayer teams that there was unforgiveness there. But God quickened it in them to bring that to him. And once he spoke that unforgiveness over them, his own body began to receive the healing that God had given for him. Hello, I got right here. Did you hear Greg's testimony? Looked at my note, I wouldn't have been dead. Anyway. Listen, I know there's even times I feel like that we think we're justified. You know? There's times that we think, you know what they did to me? You know what they said? And we try to say, you know, I'm justified in holding on to a little bit of that. But that's not what God says. Don't hold on to it. Don't let it, number one, don't let it affect you, but also don't let it separate relationships. Don't let it come between you and somebody else. See, if we've allowed hurts and misunderstandings to come between us, then there is no way that we will see what God sees in that person. So if there's gold in that person somewhere, okay, we'll never see it if we've got unforgiveness for them, towards them. If we let that just pull on our heart and let Him take care of it. And I just, as I was going through this, I just remembered this scripture in 1 Corinthians that says, "We look through a glass darkly." Okay? And Paul was talking, and he's really talking about we don't see all that's happening in times, those kind of things. But I also think when there's unforgiveness, when there's hurts, that we're looking towards relationships through it. There's some cloudiness there. We can't see that individual. We can't see what a good friend they can be, or we can't see the goodness in them because we have clouded the water, so to speak, as we're looking at them. See, we don't see things the way God sees them, but that should be our prayer because He looks at them totally different from us. We look at them to see what they dress, what they say, what they look like. You know, all those are filters that we sometimes look at people through. Our prayer needs to be, God, let me see them the way you see them. Let me see them the way that you see them. I felt like that the Lord said that as we take communion this morning, that if there is some hurts or some wounds from relationships, that he wants to restore that. He wants to heal that this morning. And I feel like that he said that as we take communion, that that's going to take place. Because that's not what he wants. And even though this is Thanksgiving week, and obviously we should be thankful all the time. All the time. Okay. But it is a special time that we do come together, and it kind of prompts us to think about it and the relationships and things that we're going to be in. God wants those healed where they're strained or where they're estranged. He didn't want us to go through that. It's important to God, and it should be important to us. It was so important that he sent his son to die for us, for our forgiveness. I got a couple more scriptures I want to read before we take communion. And when I read them, the words are a little strong, but just listen. In Hebrews 12:14, it says, "In every relationship, be swift to choose peace over competition and run swiftly towards holiness. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord." You want to see the Lord? I do. I want to see him. I want to see him in everything that I do. It goes on to say, "And make sure no one lives with a root of bitterness sprouting within them, which will only cause trouble and poison the hearts of many." Those are pretty strong words. But that's how important it is to God. For our relationships to be good, to be strong, for us not to have unforgiveness and bitterness within us. And then the other one is Mark 11:25. "And when you stand praying, if you find that you carry something in your heart against another person, release him and forgive him, so that your Father in heaven will also release you and forgive you of your faults." Man, I don't want anything to stand between God forgiving me for my faults. Because as perfect as I look up here, I know I'm not. And I got them. I got scratches and dents and dings. Okay. But God forgives those. We've talked about how this morning in relationships, how he's restoring relationships, how he's restoring families and those kind of things. It's so important to him. Goes on to say, "But if you will not release forgiveness, don't expect your Father in heaven to release you from your misdeeds." Whew, those are pretty strong words. But that's how important it is to God. I mean, I know people that have been mad at their brother or their sister that years, and won't speak to them, won't communicate with them, won't try to get along with them. It's important. It's important. It's important to Daddy. Daddy wants you to be in good relationship with your friends and your family and others that he puts in your path. And I just want to encourage you this morning. We'll go through this week, most of us, and have dinner and family get together. And we might even take a time, as we did this morning, to say what we're thankful for. But I'm thankful for relationships. I'm thankful for my families and our relationship. I'm thankful for this family and the relationships that we have in here. And several of you have said that this morning. You know what? Most of us may only see each other on Sunday morning. But it's good to see, and it's good to talk, and it's good to catch up, see what's going on. But my prayer this morning is if there's a strained relationship in your life, that this Thanksgiving, and I even believe that He wants to take care of it this morning. God wants to take care of it. If you've been hurt by somebody and you just have elected, you know what? I'm just going to stay away from that person. That's the best thing for me to do. Okay? God wants to heal that hurt this morning. I'm sure that I've said things to people that has hurt them in my lifetime. I'm sure I hadn't done everything that I should have done. Just thinking about young ladies, some of the things they said about parents, grandparents. I caused my mom and daddy, I'm sure, some sleepless hours. But God wants to restore those. He wants to restore those. He wants to bring us to this place that when we're together, the differences don't rub us, you know? I mean, nobody wants a room full of me's, okay? If all you were me's sitting out there and I'm talking to me, you know, think of how boring life could be if it was nothing but me's. He made us different. And He knew there were going to be rubs. It's not a surprise to Him. He knew that we were going to do things, say things that would hurt each other. But that's the reason His word addresses it. Forgive. 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 Look for the good. Look for the good. So this morning, as we participate in communion, and we do this because the word says that do this in remembrance of what He's done for us. He bought our forgiveness. He paid for our forgiveness. Something we couldn't do. That's how important it was to God. So this morning, as we partake, I guess I kind of feel like this is a little bit of a heavy message this morning, but I still feel like God is wanting to do things in us. And I think we can find joy in that because He is the answer. He is the one. He's the one that wants our relationships restored. He's the one that's restoring relationships. You know? So let's do this. Let me just pray over you, and then we're going to pass by the table and get the elements. And as we'll just kind of make a circle, we probably can fit around this section right here like we normally do. And if you will just, this is the first time you've been with us as we do communion here. There's not a right or wrong way to do it that I know of, but the way we do it is everybody goes by and gets it, and then we'll stand in a big circle as a family, and I'll, you know, tell you when to take the elements. So just to ease your mind. Okay. So Lord, we just thank you this morning. Father, I thank you for this season of Thanksgiving. I understand that every day is a gift and we should be thankful for it. Every breath that we breathe is a gift and we are thankful for that. But Lord, I thank you for the relationships. I thank you for the people that you put in my life. And Lord, I just ask right now, if there's any unforgiveness in my heart towards anybody, would you just reveal that to me? God, help us to see our family, our brothers, our sisters, our friends, our neighbors through your eyes. We may not understand what they're going through, but you do. So, Lord, help us to see each other through your eyes, Lord. Help the goal to rise up from deep within us, Lord, because you placed it. You made every one of us. You knitted us together. And so, Lord, this morning, I just pray that this would be a day. We've already had testimony of relationships that are being restored, but Father, that you would continue to restore relationships, Lord. And Lord, let our time around this Thanksgiving Day dinner or supper or whatever it might be one of joy, one of love, one of acceptance for all of those that are there. Thank you for the gift of forgiveness. Thank you that you love me enough, that you loved us enough, that you sent your son to the cross to pay the price for my shortcomings. For that, I am so grateful and I'm so thankful. And Lord, I just want to say that I love you this morning. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen.